this lesson this evening from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19, where there's three things that are listed. He said, let every man be swift to hear, then slow to speak, and that's our lesson. Then in a couple of weeks, when we come back again, when Christy and I return, we'll do the last one, slow to wrath. So we'll look at each of these in turn. Next Sunday evening is the first Sunday of the month that we typically dispense with the preaching. We still have our worship time together, devotion. We just have more scripture reading and prayers instead of the lesson. So in looking at this, kind of going back, swift to hear, be quick to hear the word of God. That was the lesson. I wish we could implant that attitude or mindset in brethren more and more. I want to know what God has to say. I want to be quick to hear and then abide by what is being read or taught. So now we're on a lesson, slow to speak. The lesson, by definition, be slow, give it some thought. One definition was some idioms that said, don't be fast on the trigger. chew your words before you spit them out, sometimes people say. Bite your tongue. I've had people say, you know, zip your lip, and they'll give you that little sign there. Be slow to speak. In Proverbs 21, verse 23, I put in your introduction, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. So this lesson is about tongue trouble, and I've listed all those phrases or words in the Bible that I can think of that have reference to them. I think I would have put 15 or so, 13. So first one was take God's name in vain in review. Now, and we know what that means, don't we? Don't use God's name flippantly or with indifference. When you say God's name and it's devoid of worth, when you just the casual shout out, OMG, as they say nowadays, you know, don't take God's name in vain with it empty. Second, we looked at just noted cursing or profanity, and that was kind of an easy one. We've heard that all of our life from our parents, teachers, I hope, from just society, cussing and profanity. Flattery, in Psalm 12, verse 2, they speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Flattery, yeah, it's that, somebody used the phrase, those are what they call honey words, or soft soap, or ingratiation, insincere excessive praise, just flattery, be careful with that. Number four was evil speaking, that's right, words that have the intent to harm. Evil. It's just evil speaking. Words that hurt or injure. They're malicious. So wicked. And one definition, dictionary definition, had the word naughty. That's naughty. Evil speaking. Number five was lying, false witness. Just, you know, the untrue statements. Intent to deceive, you're trying to cover up or lead someone in the wrong direction. Number six was, I put three words together, talebearing, gossip, whisperer. Those are the people that who would habitually reveal personal or sensational things about somebody else. Someone used the phrase, it's called secret slander, you know, when you talebear or gossip or whisper. There's a whole list of tongue things in, in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 31. And the verse begins by saying, these things are not fitting. And I stopped last week and go, those words, it's not fitting. You know, not appropriate. It's not discreet. Not good manners. It's not nice. These things are not fitting. And then it lists a category of horrible sins, and right in the middle of them, it mentions whisperers, backbiters, boasters, unmerciful. So the things that we say, things that we say. Number seven was backbiting, and that's typically along the same line, slander. We say spiteful things about another when in their absence. The intent when you backbite is to defame or malign. And those are those words that are in that Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 28. So just backbite. Paul mentions that in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. He says, I intend to visit you, and I'm coming, and these are some things I don't want to see. And it mentions contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, backbiting, whispering, conceits. So there's tongue with these things that we say are going to get us in trouble. So we need to be admonished or exhorted about these kinds of things. Number eight was harsh criticism or judgment. We all know the verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For when you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So I put in your notes, it's just reciprocal judgment. So we certainly are to judge, because Jesus says later, judge righteous judgment. So it's just not forbidding all judgment, but just be aware and know that what the attitude or the words and the you use toward another may come back. Someone says, you're going to talk to me that way, I'll talk to you that way, or something along that line. But it's reciprocal judgment. Judge not that you be not judged. The judgment you use, you'll be judged. The measure you used, be measured back to you. So be careful. Again, the warning is how we speak and the judgments we make. Number nine was idle words. That's kind of a tough one for people. What are idle words? I didn't write these down, and I don't think I did all in your definition. I think I just put the one phrase that's words that betray discipleship or your confession. Idle words are words that would reveal hypocrisy, your hypocrisy on the part of the hearer. He says, you're going to say that, an idle word, and you're claimed to be a Christian or disciple on God's side. Their words, idle words are words that don't administer grace to the hearer. Idle words are those that are in contrast to the speakers in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 12. That's in the context. Mm-hmm. So, idle words. Filthy words, number 10. Coarse jesting, corrupt words. Just filthy language. Vulgar, smutty, irreverent, obscene. Those kinds of things. Coarse jesting is legitimate humor, but it crosses the line. It's not condemning jesting or just having a good time with each other, but it's the phrase is coarse jesting. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And that's the phrase in the New King James Version. Coarse jesting, which are not fitting. Coarse jesting. So it's words that are rude. They're not eloquent. They're crass. Coarse jesting. They're just rough words. Teaching, that's an obvious one. We want to speak the truth. Number 20, we know we understand that. And then we come to this last one, frivolous. Put the adjective there, because maybe not just oath-taking, but I said frivolous to help with the definition. Or vows that we may want to make. And here are the verses. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 19, verse 12. Old law. You shall not swear by my name falsely. Well, don't swear by my name, but he has that word falsely. Nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. So don't swear by my name falsely or profane the name again. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 21, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, don't delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. Make a vow. Well, I promise I can do that, God. I'll be on your side. But you don't pay it. But it says, but if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. Okay? That which has gone from your lips, for you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. So when we make our declaration to God, God, I'm going to be on your side always. Then do it. Fulfill that resolution you make. Count on me. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, Solomon said, don't be rash with your mouth. Well, I can understand that. Be rash. Let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. Oh, I take that. You say that to somebody. Oh, I take that back. I didn't mean to say that. Well, that's the wisdom of Solomon with our words. Even as we present ourselves before God, don't be hasty. Don't be rash. Verses 4 and 5 of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. When you make a vow to God, don't delay to repay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. So we want to fulfill our obligations. That which is required of us. And then the text that we're familiar with in Matthew 5 verse 33. Jesus said, again, you've heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely. Now there it is. Don't swear falsely. That's Leviticus 19:12. You shall, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. You say, do. But Jesus says, not, but I say to you, there's going to be something new. Do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, that's God's throne, nor by the earth, that's his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, that's the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black. So here's his conclusion. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. No need. Jesus is saying, no need to seal a promise with an oath. You've always heard our word should be our bond. If I make that promise to you, or I make state an obligation on my part, I need to fulfill that. Of course, in humanity, we know things come up. Oh, I got sick, or got called away. So, but if those are legitimate, maybe, excuses, but if you make that promise, your word is your bond. I don't need to, the old expression, swear on a stack of Bibles. It's always a stack. I guess that, really, I'm going to do this. You can't just swear on one Bible. I'm a stack of Bibles. Yeah, count on me. Prohibition is not against really all oath-taking, but the frivolous ones. The oaths that we make that are shallow or superficial, they're not serious, or they're trivial, or they're of little importance. Stack of Bibles. Don't need to do that. W. E. Vine explained it this way. The Lord's command here was a condemnation of the minute and arbitrary restrictions imposed by the scribes and Pharisees in the matter of adjurations or judgments, by which God's name was profaned. So they said, Jesus says, you don't swear by heaven, or by the earth, by Jerusalem, or by your head, or a stack of Bibles. Just let your word be your bond. examples, and I'm not sure. I'll just read these verses for you. Sometimes it's okay to say, I'm telling the truth. I just don't need to establish it with a vow. I'm telling you, I swear on a stack of Bibles. When Jesus was before Pilate, it says in Matthew 26, verse 63, Jesus kept silent. The high priest answered and said to him, I put you under an oath by the living God. Right, I'm putting you under an oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, it's as you said. Pilate said, I'm putting you under an oath. Well, Jesus said, you can't do that. He said, it's as you said. I'm not going to explain it, Doctor. In Galatians 1, verse 20, Paul said, now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. I'm telling you the truth. That's all he's saying. In 2 Corinthians 1, moreover, I call God as witness against my soul, that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. I call on God as a witness. In Philippians 1, verse 8, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. So we can certainly say, but Jesus just said, you don't need to make your word with an oath or swear. I close in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. But even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. I like that. Foolish person. He looks not like a wise man if he doesn't talk. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. A foolish man. In Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. I'm not sure if this fits, but I saw this in Reader's Digest. This is a story concerning speech, what we say. First day on the job, a store clerk in a supermarket had a lady ask him if she could buy half a head of lettuce. He tried to dissuade her, but she persisted. Finally, he said, I'm going to have to talk to my manager. Well, he went to the rear of the store and didn't notice that she followed him. He said to the manager, there's some stupid old bag out there who wants to buy half a head of lettuce. What should I tell her? Seeing the horrified look on the manager's face, he turned and seeing the woman, he added, and this nice lady wants to buy the other half. Right? Relieved, the manager said that would be fine. The manager congratulated the boy on his quick thinking. And then he asked, where are you from, son? He said with a smile, I'm from Toronto, Canada, the home of beautiful hockey players and ugly women. The manager looked at him and said, my wife is from Toronto. The clerk quickly replied, oh, what team did she play on? Our speech. Our speech. Oh, me. In Psalm 141, verse 3, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And then Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable unto thee, O Jehovah, or O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our speech. So that's the lesson. Be slow to speak. Next Sunday night is the first Sunday night of the month. We will be singing the Bible reading prayers and stuff like that. Following Christine, I'll be out of town, and Chris Delgado will be preaching for me. I'll be back after that, Lord willing. And it'll be the last lesson, slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. All right. Always, when we assemble, for worship time, and we have a lesson. We extend an invitation. We sing an invitation song. It's a song of encouragement. If you've not obeyed the gospel message, where Jesus commissioned his apostles to go into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news message, meaning God so loved the world that he sent his son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus said, this is my some words I want to tell you before I ascend back to the Father. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's the extent, that's what we extend to everyone, that opportunity. If you've not obeyed that message, you have that opportunity again tonight. So we're going to, as our custom is, stand and sing this song if you're would like to do that. And if that's your resolve, if that's your decision, you simply let it be known at the close of the